Thank you, Arnie. I think verse 29 probably had some special meaning for Arnie because somebody once took his coat. But he didn't offer a shirt because he didn't know who it was. So if you stole Arnie's coat, just give him a call and he'll have a shirt for you too. Did you know that last year Americans lost over 5 billion, that's billion with a B, over $5 billion to internet scams? This is a growing problem, not only in our country, but all over the world. You've probably gotten that email. I know I've gotten them quite a few times. Or a message on social media that we knew was a scam right away. I get one once in a while from a prince in, I think he's in Saudi Arabia or something. And if I send him a little bit of money, he'll repay me, and you know, many times over. I haven't sent him any money yet, and I probably won't. But these kind of things happen a lot. I read a story about one that happened just a few years ago. A man from Utah, whose name was Ben Taylor, got a Facebook message from a guy named Joel. Joel said that he was from Liberia, and that Ben knew right away that this was a scam. It was one of those scams that's called an advance fee scam. Joel was trying to convince Ben that he had a big inheritance coming. But first he needed to pay some legal fees before he could get his money. And if Ben would just help him to pay these legal fees, then Joel promised that he'd split his inheritance with him, right down the middle, and give him half of it. Of course, Ben knew this was a scam, but he decided to play along just for fun. Ben has his own YouTube channel, and so he thought he could kind of record this as it went along, and he could share it with his viewers so that they too would be able to spot an internet scammer if they came along. And this is where the story gets good. Ben decided to turn the tables a little bit on Joel, and he told him that he ran a photography business. He really didn't. And he said that he would pay Joel if he would take some pictures of African sunsets for him. Surprisingly, Joel came through with some pretty nice pictures, sent them to him, and he did something then that was very strange. Ben bought Joel, who he knew was a scammer, a new camera. And he sent this camera, and he asked him to take some pictures with this camera because they would be better quality. And so he did. And the pictures Joel received were better quality than the first batch. And Joel also sent an exciting message that said he was committing himself to their new business partnership. Now Ben had a situation on his hands. He had told Joel that he would pay him for good photos. And Joel trusted him. The scammer trusted him. So if Ben didn't come through, he would be guilty of running a scam himself, and he wasn't going to do that. So what should he do? Well, he thought about it, and he decided to print Joel's photos, put them into a booklet, and advertise it for sale on his YouTube channel. He named the booklet after a phrase that Joel used all the time in his emails. He always said, "By the grace of God." And so he named it that. And he charged $8 for this booklet. Surprisingly, within a short period of time, he sold a couple of $1,000 worth of these booklets. And then the story gets even better. Ben sent all the money to Joel, but he said, "I'll send it all to you, but only on one condition, and that is that you donate half of it to a local charity." And Joel said he would, and he actually did, as the story turns out. Then comes the best part. In 2018, Ben traveled to Liberia to meet his new business partner, Joel. They took more pictures. They published a second book. And this book showed the strange and wonderful story of their business partnership. So far, the two books they have put together have raised several hundred thousand dollars, but the rest has gone to do good works in Liberia, to buy food for hungry children, to buy Christmas gifts for kids who would be without, and to save a school. So much has been accomplished. How's that for a great ending or beginning of a story that could have been just a scam? It's a story with a happy ending for Ben. It's a story with a happy ending for Joel. And it's a story with a happy ending for all the people that they've been able to help. The title of their first book is perfect, By the Grace of God, because this story didn't have to turn out this way. It became a story of generosity, a story of hope, and a story of new beginnings, by the grace of God. I want to talk about that today. How can the grace of God change the ending to a story, to your story, to my story, to the story of everyone we meet? How many lives could be changed if we chose grace as our first answer to the tests that come our way in life? Grace. A good definition of grace is unearned, undeserved love, undeserved favor. Well, that was a story of grace we just talked about. But that kind of grace was Jesus' first response to everyone when he was here. Even if it looked like tough love sometimes, and it did. And it's not like Jesus was surrounded by a crazy fan club all the time. He had plenty of people who wanted to trip him up, confuse him, wanted to challenge him, wanted to humiliate him, make him look bad in front of other people. He even had people that wanted to kill him. So he understood how difficult it was to do these things that he asked us to do. Listen to these words again. And tell me if in your mind, maybe I'm the only one in this room, but if this sounds like it's impossible. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Are these your first responses? They're not mine. I won't lie. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those. Pray for those who mistreat you. If somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn the other? Are you kidding? I'm going to smack them back, only harder, probably. If somebody takes your coat, offer your shirt to them. Give to everybody who asks. Don't demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Wow. Those are not very easy tasks that God calls us to. A pastor by the name of David Loos has a great perspective on this. He writes these words, quote, Jesus is not offering a set of simple rules by which to get by or to get ahead in this world, but he is inviting us into a whole other world. A world that is not about measuring and counting and weighing and competing and judging and paying back and hating and all the rest. But instead, it's about love. Love for those who have loved you. Love for those who haven't. Love even for those who hate you. I think we can understand all of Jesus' teachings better if we understand them as an invitation to a different way, a whole other world. Because our world really is about some of the things that that pastor talked about, measuring and counting and weighing and competing and judging other people and paying back and hating and all that other stuff. And we all know how that works. And we all know how it turns out for all of us. It doesn't help. Jesus tells us to change our way of thinking, our way of living. Many people resist following God because they think it puts too many restrictions on them. But sometimes, less is more. Less choices to have to make. Maybe you've walked through a huge store and you go into the soap aisle and you look and you can't even decide which one to get because you got too many choices. Too many options can make it hard to make decisions sometimes. Well, Jesus keeps it simple. He takes away some of the options. No hate, no judgment, no getting even. No expecting to get paid back. Hope you will, but don't expect it. I've learned that's true. Those are not choices for us, followers of Jesus. Jesus says there's only one choice. Act out of love. So what would this kind of love look like in our lives every day? And how could it change our life stories? The first thing we learn from this reading is that Jesus calls us to a courageous love. In May of 2021, there was a sixth grade girl who walked into her school in Rigby, Idaho. A sixth grade girl pulled out a handgun out of her backpack and started shooting. She was shooting into the school hallway. It was a terrible scene. This is every parent's teacher's worst nightmare. There's a math teacher whose name was Krista Knighting. She rushed her kids to safety, and then she stepped back out into that hallway. Why? First, she went out there to help a student who had been shot. When she got that student to safety, she went back out. Because she had looked into the eyes of the little girl that was shooting. And in an interview, she said this. This was a little girl. And my brain just couldn't grasp what was happening. I just knew when I saw her. I had to get that gun. So she approached the little girl and she started talking to her. She took the gun from her hands, slid it away, put her arms around her, and hugged her until the police came. She said, I just kept hugging her and loving her. Trying to let her know that we're going to get through this together. That was courageous love. And there's no question that it changed the ending to this story. She probably stopped that little girl from hurting or killing any other kids. But she also turned a violent, horrible, traumatic situation into an opportunity for radical courageous love. She inspired the people that were there that day and saw this by her courage. For followers of Jesus, hate, judgment, revenge, all those options are off the table. Instead, Jesus says, love with a courageous love. Second thing we learn from this reading is that Jesus calls us to a generous love. Generosity in a human being is a beautiful thing to see. And sometimes it's, very often actually, it's contagious. Phil Robertson, the guy from Duck Dynasty, once had a problem. He had people stealing fish from his nets that he would place along the river. And this went on for a long time. And at first, he got angry. And he said he went out there and he started to patrol the river and to stop these people from stealing his fish. And then one day he said he read the passage in Romans 12 that says, give your enemy food and drink, and overcome evil with good. And so he decided that he would stop protecting his fish nets and do something different. So the next time, he was out patrolling and he caught somebody trying to steal his fish. He pulled up the net and he poured the fish into the guy's boat. And he said, invite your family over for a fish fry. Have a good time. And he told him that he would gladly give him more fish if he needed them. Just come on back. After a few more times of giving away fish to thieves, he discovered something. Less and less fish were being stolen. The more he offered to give, the less anyone wanted to steal. Love drives generosity. Generosity can be risky. There's no guaranteeing that your giving will benefit you. Usually it doesn't benefit you. But Jesus didn't give to get anything back. He gave because his love for us compelled him to do it. The opposite is true too. Fear drives stinginess and selfishness and greediness. Chuck Collins, probably never heard of him, but he's the great-grandson of Oscar Mayer. I bet you heard of him. He was the immigrant, the German immigrant, who started a meat company that is huge today. Well, Chuck Collins was set to inherit a fortune when he became an adult. But instead, he did something that would shock most of us. He chose to give all that inheritance away. All of it. He wanted to give it away. And the reason that he wanted to give it away is because he'd been inspired by some generosity that he'd seen. This generosity he witnessed earlier in his life was by a group of tenants of a mobile home park. The owner of the land had said that he was going to sell the land and that they would all have to leave. They'd all have to find a new place to live. The only way they could keep their community was if they were going to buy it. And so he thought, why don't I just get my dad to give him the money? But before he could do that, they worked together and they raised the money for themselves. The people who couldn't afford to pay anything didn't have to. They were told not to worry about it. Those who could afford would kick in a little bit of extra and would cover the cost. And all these tenants got to stay in their homes. Their generosity to the people who couldn't afford to do anything to save themselves and save their homes inspired Chuck. And he said, it made me think, I want some of what they have. What they have is a community that stands for each other. And that's all in for each other. That's the kind of world I want to live in. Well, today, Chuck Collins is a best-selling author, a lecturer, and a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C. He does not sell hot dogs. Collins says, that's the kind of world I want to live in. That's the kind of world that God wants us to live into. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. Hate divides people. Kindness and generosity unites. Hate creates division. Generosity creates community. Hate oppresses. Generosity overcomes. Jesus calls us to a courageous love. Jesus calls us to a generous love. And finally, the last thing we learned this morning from this reading is that Jesus calls us to an unconditional love. How many of you here are Star Trek fans? Raise your hand if you're a Star Trek fan. Ooh, not very many. Only a couple here. I wonder how many are raising their hands out in YouTube land. But did you know that the Klingon language, I'm not a Star Trek fan, but I read this, the Klingon language from Star Trek is a language that somebody actually put together, but it has no word for love. Of course, if you know anything about the Klingons, you know that they are creatures of pure logic. Remember Mr. Spock? That's not logical. No emotions. So the closest words for love in their language were words like honor or un-hate. It would be easy for us to define love as unhating others or honoring others, but God doesn't let us make that definition. It's not up to us what defines love. God doesn't even let us decide who is worthy of our love. Listen to Jesus' words. Going on in verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? If you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend without expecting to get it back. Your reward will be great, and you'll be children of the Most High. Be merciful, just as your God is merciful. God is kind to the ungrateful. God is kind to the wicked. Be merciful. Be kind. Be merciful, like God is. Unconditional love that inspired Jesus to offer his life for you and for me, even when we did not deserve it. Grace, wonderful grace. Romans 5:8 says these words, but God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the only option, if we are going to be disciples, if we are going to be followers of Jesus, is to love everyone with that same unconditional love. George Wallace was the governor of Alabama for 25 years, from the 60s through 1987. George Wallace was known to be a racist. He was against equality for blacks. In 1972, George Wallace was shot and paralyzed and almost killed in an attempted assassination. He was shocked when he was visited in the hospital by Shirley Chisholm. Who's Shirley Chisholm? Shirley Chisholm was the first black woman congressperson. George Wallace was a very strong opponent of Chisholm. He asked her at one point in time what her people would say about her visiting him in the hospital. And here's what she said, words that brought George Wallace to tears. She said, I know what they're going to say, but I don't care. I wouldn't want what happened to you to happen to anyone. He said he wept. A couple of years later, he felt compelled to do good for her, and he helped her. She was fighting for minimum wage for domestic workers, and he helped to make that legislation pass. We all like stories with happy endings, but look through the story of the human race and you see hatred, you see violence, you see suffering, you see injustice. It didn't start that way. It doesn't have to end that way. Through Jesus, God invited us into a whole new way of thinking, a whole new world, the kingdom of God. Let's work together to create that kingdom of God right here on earth by following Jesus' example. That's hard to say. Jesus' example in living with a courageous love like that teacher, with a generous love like Chuck Collins, with an unconditional love like Shirley Chisholm. If we'll do these things, we can change the ending of the story by the grace of God. Amen.